continuing our study by way of preaching and teaching through this chapter in the Word of God. Isn't the Bible good? I said, isn't the Bible good? Oh yeah, it's real good. Absolutely. 1 John chapter 1. And I want us to get the verse from which we are deriving our theme. Verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And who is His Son? Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to have fellowship with you. I pray, God, that you will help us as your vessel. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Control my mouth to say what I need to say, and give me the strength and the lungs and the energy to say it. And I pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As human beings, we crave getting around each other. Socialization is one of the things that we naturally desire. I can imagine there are parents sitting in here today, and you're thinking about the quandary ahead of you in the fall, as your children will not be able to go to school as they've been used to going to school, and they won't be around their friends. It's a bigger picture of what we've dealt with for the last 4.5 months or so. Being in the house, not being around the people that we enjoy the most. The reason why we crave fellowship is because we have relationships. Relationships are the connections, and the fellowship is the communion. Now, let's be honest. I'm not interested in communing with someone with whom I'm not connected. But if I'm connected with someone, I desire communion with that individual. It's been difficult not to be able to share communion with those with whom we're connected. But John reminds us in this first epistle that our greatest connection is not with each other, although it is great and grand. Our greatest connection is not with some group, not with some sorority, not with some fraternity, not with our job, not with our political party, if you would. Our greatest connection is with Almighty God. If you agree with that, would you say amen? That connection comes through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, thus inviting us into fellowship, joint participation in something we both share in common. I don't know about you, there's nothing I enjoyed more this past week than being in joint participation with Almighty God. To get up in the morning and to know that God and I can be involved in something together is something that I cannot describe. Aren't you glad that our connection with God allows our communion with God? So John said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So he gave us some real conclusions that we understand the eternality of Jesus, that they were eyewitnesses of Jesus, that Jesus had an expression that could not be denied, an exposure to them that was very clear, an enlightenment to them that they could understand. John said, I want to tell you something. When I talk about Jesus, I'm not talking about some Disney character. I'm not talking about some fairy tale. I'm talking about that somebody that's real. Doesn't the world need to know Jesus is real? He lives inside of you. I said, doesn't the world need to know Jesus is real? By the way, he's real. He's changed your life. You're not just talking about something you read, something you heard. I don't know about you. If you saved, he didn't save just your mom and your dad or your friend. He saved you. If you're saved, say amen. He's coming to live inside of you. He said, we have some recognized conclusions. He moved last week, if you would, to a reasonable compulsion. The delivered facts, that which we have received, we're giving to you the desired function that you and I might be able to fellowship one with another. And then he said, the discovered fullness, that your joy might be full. Can I tell you that full joy is something the world cannot manufacture? Full joy is something that Congress cannot legislate. Full joy is something that no amendment can ratify. Full joy is something that no chef can whip up. Full joy is something that no inventor can patent. Full joy is something that can only come from God. Listen to me. When you spend time with God and when you let God spend time with you, you will experience joy. I know what you're saying, Pastor. We're in a pandemic. I know what you're saying, Pastor. My money is funny. My friends are few. My future is bleak. My crisis is heavy. My burdens seem so loaded down. How in the world can I have joy? I'll tell you why. Because joy never came from them in the first place. Happiness comes from happenings, but joy comes from the Lord. And God doesn't just want you to have joy, but he wants you to have full joy. Now, thirdly, one of them numbers, write it down. Amen. Thirdly, relayed communication. Relayed communication. This then is the message. This then is the message. I just want to pause here and say that somebody in all this chaos needs to hear what the message is from God. Hey, listen, the messaging going on in our world today is so hard to discern. It's so hard to follow. I don't know about you. It depends on what you tune into, what you're going to hear. Isn't it amazing that two people can look at the same thing and say two different things? Isn't it amazing that two reporters can be reporting on the same thing, and depending on what network they're on, you're going to get a different report? But I'm telling you what, John said, I'm not coming to tell you what the media said. I'm coming to tell you what God said. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Listen, we have received a presentation. John said, we got it from him. We got something from him. I don't know about you, in these last days, I need a word from the Lord. I need a word from the Lord. I've heard enough theories and I've heard enough conspiracies and I've heard enough opinions. And anytime you're dealing with man, there's always a possibility of fallacy and a propensity of failure. But when you hear a word from the Lord, you can go to the bank on it. It is credible. It is certain. And it is sure. Here's what John said. This then is the message that we have heard of him. We have received a presentation. But not only is there a received presentation, there is a resounding proclamation. I want you to hear this today, and it might be all that we get through, but I hope it'll help you. Here is the message, and this is what we declare unto you. Tell us, John, God is light. I wish somebody say amen. God is light. I know what you're saying, Pastor. By the way, there are a lot of words that we understand how they are displayed, but we don't necessarily understand how they are defined. We understand light. I know what you're saying. I flip the switch on, something comes on. You know, I know that that's light. I turn all the lights off and something's still shining. I know that that's light. But what really is light? I'll tell you what the dictionary says light is. Light is something that makes vision possible. Let me say that again. Something that makes vision possible. Now, what do you mean? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Why? Because there was darkness. Here's the amazing thing about darkness. Darkness cannot hide light, but aren't you glad that light can dispel darkness? Did you hear me now? Darkness cannot hide light, but light can dispel darkness. You can turn up darkness all you want to, but if the light's on, you can't hide it. But listen to me now. But when the light comes on, darkness has to go away. But when darkness gets turned up, you can't run out the light. What do you mean that God is light? His illuminating character, his impeccable consistency. Pastor, what do you mean that God is light? He's absolutely holy. He's absolutely pure. He's absolutely righteous. He cannot look favorably on sin. There's nothing hid from him. All is naked in front of him. Listen to me. When I talk about God being light, he is what gives us the ability to see. He is what enables us to be able to have vision. Pastor, what do you mean that God is light? I mean that before you got saved, you were lost in darkness, hanging around in the muck and mire of debauchery and depravity. You were in darkness. You couldn't see the truth if it was in front of you. You couldn't see the way to go if it was in front of you. You couldn't see what to do if it was in front of you. Somebody admit to me, your life was messed up and jacked up before Jesus saved your soul. You were wallowing around in darkness. That's why you made so many mistakes. That's why you had so many bumps and bruises. That's why you kept running into so many walls and people around you say, why you keep doing that? You couldn't help yourself. You were living in darkness. All of the rehabilitation, all of the medicine, all of the counsel, all of the world's philosophy and ideology could not show you the way. But somebody told you about a man who came and hung and bled and suffered for the sins of mankind. Somebody told you about somebody who was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquity. Somebody told you about a man who left the portals of glory to not walk and look at the earth and be impressed with it, but to die to seek and save that which was lost. Somebody told you about a man named Jesus who was the Son of God. And when Jesus came into your life, the light bulb came on. All of a sudden you began to see. You opened your Bible and these words like shouldest, couldest, wouldest, and didest, they started to make sense. And some of the stuff that your friends used to tell you to do, it started to make sense. And some of the things that were going on around you started to make sense. And you began to realize that something happened in my life. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I wasn't introduced to religion. I didn't shake the preacher's hand. I didn't get the right hand of fellowship. No, I met somebody who is eternal, somebody who is immutable, somebody who is unchangeable, somebody who's pure, somebody who's righteous. I'm so sick and tired of sin and contamination and corruption. Everywhere we turn, I look at what's going on in the world, and I look at what's happened the last several months, and I look at what I've faced in my own life. And I'm telling you, if you're leaning on man, good luck. Man will fail you. If you're leaning on theories, good luck. They change every single day. If you're leaning on your own reputation, your DNA, your instincts, your skill, your education, your money in the bank, good luck. That seems to shift every single day. But I'll tell you what's given me some hope in the midst of this pandemic. I'll tell you what gives me the hope in the midst of this racism that's going on in our world. I'll tell you what gives me some hope in the midst of shutdowns and when church can't meet and social distancing and all those things. I'll tell you what gives me some joy, that I know somebody in the midst of a dark world that not gives light, that not just knows light, that not just sells light. Hey, listen to me. It would be great if God just distributed light, if God just produced light, if God just sold light. That would be great. At least we knew where to get it. But I'm glad he doesn't distribute it. He doesn't sell it. He doesn't manufacture it. My Bible said God is light. And in him, I'm tired. There's no darkness at all. Nothing. There's nothing bad about God. Somewhere, somehow, some people are saying, you know, this virus, you know, I don't care what you say, it ain't that bad. It is bad. It's bad. I'm telling you, it's bad. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. It's horrible. Now, it doesn't hit everybody the same way, but it's bad. It could. It's bad. But I want to remind you of something. We face a bad virus, but we have a good God. And if you're not careful, you will let everything bad in the world color your opinion of God. I'm telling you, sir, don't you get so mad at people that you get mad at God. I'm telling you, teenager, don't you get hung up on how whack you think the world is that you think God is whack. He's not whack. He's light. I said he's light. He has an illuminating character, and he has an impeccable consistency. I said, in him, there is no darkness at all. Some little religious, supposedly smart theologian somewhere in the crevices of academia is trying to pose a question. Well, why Jesus was on planet Earth? Could he have sinned when the devil tempted him? Could he have sinned? Maybe he could have sinned. And when the Bible says he was tempted, he was pulled. And while he was being pulled, there was something pulling God
over to sin. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? I thought the Bible said he was tempted. The humanity of Jesus was tempted, but the deity of Jesus was not tempted. You say, Pastor, why? I'll tell you why. God cannot be tempted to sin. I'm shutting this thing down, but something just came to my head. See, when you take two metals and you put them together and they begin to magnetize, the reason why they attract themselves to each other, because they are both alike. The likeness is what draws the magnetism in those two objects. These two objects would never come together if there weren't something in both of them that is alike. The reason why the devil tempts me and I'm drawn to sin is because he's sinful and so am I. The reason why you sin when you don't want to is because even though you got saved, you still have a sinful flesh. But that man, mama, there goes that man. That man, Jesus, when he came to earth, oh yeah, he had a flesh like you and I, but he had something that you and I do not have, and that is he is an eternal person of the Godhead, and he was never drawn towards sin because there was no sin in him to draw. God is light. And I'm happy about it. Now, if you hang on a little bit next week, I'm going to get to what we need to do. But not this week. Next week. Because one of the reasons why so many Christians are living in so much darkness is they've forgotten that the God they serve is light. Somebody say, God is light. And in him is no darkness. Now say this with some attitude. At all. Let's remember that. Darkness cannot hide light, but light can dispel darkness. So I want you to leave the building today and don't spend the rest of the week between the next time I see you singing the blues about how bad the world is. It is dark, but stop looking at the darkness and start looking at the light, because no matter how dark it gets, it will never hide the light. As a matter of fact, the darker it is, the brighter the light. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being the light. Thank you for living in us. John said, this then is the message. It was the message then, it's the message now. God, the world needs some light. Help us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you say, Pastor? I know the light. I've been saved by the grace of God. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I've been saved and I know it. I've been saved and I know it. God bless you. Put your hands down. How many say, Pastor, I've been guilty of focusing so much on the darkness that I've forgotten how blessed I am that God is the light. How many of you would say to me today, Pastor, I'm so glad that I've been reminded that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That encourages me. Would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. God is light. Let me put your hands down. Now, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to live? You going to live differently? God is light. That's determined to do better. Could I ask you one more question? How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Please listen. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I'm absolutely sure I do not want to go to hell. Please. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I'll not embarrass you or call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I am sure I do not want to go to hell. Would you just slip your hand up? Nobody's looking but me. Just long enough for me to see it. Anybody like that? If you're here today and you're not in the building, but you're watching, if you're not saved, could I tell you God is light? And he wants to save you. In him is no darkness at all. Let him light up your life. Hey, Christian, let's stop acting like the world can overshadow God. He is light. And our fellowship is with the light. Father, we love you. We thank you for being such a good,
and a faithful God. Keep helping us, God, to serve you, to live for you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we're saved.